We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we are focusing on Rutherford County, and our Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr is with us today. Joe, did you have a good Memorial Day?
I did. I had an excellent Memorial Day. I trust yours was well.
Enjoyed it thoroughly. Had the family over. We just had a ball.
Yes, it was relaxing and an opportunity to celebrate and honor those fallen men and women who have given their last breath for our freedom and liberty. And I always want to be mindful of that.
Very definitely. We never want to forget to do that.
No, we don't want to do that.
So let's look at some of the things that are on your plate these days.
Sure. I don't believe the next 45 minutes are going to be sufficient, so we may just have to kind of hit the high marks, right? There's a lot
going on. I understand you're having an interesting meeting this evening with the Property Management Committee, the Rutherford County Property Management Committee, and they're looking at some capital projects.
Yes, so let me explain that. So Chairman Alan McAdoo, the longest serving member of the county commission, I think over 40 years, and a phenomenal asset to this county and to the city of Murfreesboro. The institutional knowledge and wisdom of that man is unparalleled in local government that I've ever found. Having said that, Chairman McAdoo visits with me often, and we talk about the state of the county, and particular with regard to the committee that he chairs, which is the Property Management Committee. And because any new project, capital project, where it involves constructing a new facility, goes through his committee. And so is Michael Smith, the finance director, Eric Hennessy, my chief of staff, and I started putting together over two years ago, the projects that we felt like the county needed. Chairman McAdoo asked us to extend that project list out for 5 to 10 years, so we could have an idea of the growth that we need, the projects we need to embrace to deal with the growth of this county. Because there has been, in some ways, there has been a lack of attention historically on meeting the needs of a county that's now almost 400,000 people, the fastest growing in the state and one of the fastest in the country. So I will be presenting tonight to Property Management, Bart, a capital projects list for the next 5 to 10, what we want to do for the next 5 to 10 years. And I can share some of that now if you like.
Sure. What would some of those areas be?
Well, I want to step back, if I can, for just a second and just share with the listeners, you know, the things that we have completed in the last 2.5 years, which is rather remarkable. We have completed some of these were started under Mayor Ketron. The public safety buildings in Rockvale and Kittrell were started under Mayor Ketron. The one-stop facility over in Blackman was started under Mayor Ketron, but was completed under the first part of my term. But in the last 2.5 years, we have started and completed the Smyrna Convenience Center, the Las Casas Public Health and Safety Building, the Walter Hill Public Health and Safety Building. The transfer station is complete. It will come online and be operational July 1. By the way, we are having a ribbon cutting and a christening of the floor on National Garbage Man Day on June 17th at 1 o'clock at 6000 Landfill Road at the new transfer station. And the public is invited to join us for that. It's a beautiful 13,000 square foot building that is state of the art, and has waste management has told me recently on a visit out there when they saw the completion of the facility, they said there's no other facility like it that they're aware of in the country. This is that good. And so it's real exciting to get an endorsement like that from a company like Waste Management. So we're completing the transfer station's complete, and then the Haley Road Recycling Center is complete, with the exception of the fact that we've got an issue with where we're going to locate our dumpsters as it relates to the TVA lines that are that cross that property. But those are the projects that we've completed in the last 2.5 years.
You said June 17th
yes,
is
sir.
National Garbage Day?
June 17th is National Garbage Man Day. And not coincidentally, that is the day that we're doing the ribbon cutting with the Chamber of Commerce and the christening of the floor. And you have a, Bart, you and WGNS have a special invitation to join us, if you like. June 17th. I'm not sure if that's a Thursday or not, but it's June 17th, 1 o'clock. The address is 6000 Landfill Road in the Walter Hill Community, Murfreesboro, and okay. That it's our new transfer station.
And the transfer station is next to the Walter Hill Middle Point Landfill.
It is. It's on the back side. Yes, sir. If you come north up Memorial, which is 231, and you're at the light at Jefferson Pike and Lebanon Pike, turn right, and you'll go probably about a mile or less, and you'll pass the Middle Point Landfill, and you will pass the Rutherford County Convenience Center. And as soon as you get to the Rutherford County Convenience Center, you want to turn right down Landfill Road, brand new paved road, rebuilt by Greg Brooks and his team, the Rutherford County Highway Department. They did a phenomenal job. It's about a mile and a half drive back there to the transfer station. Once you get there, you can't miss it.
Now, with that glowing review that was given to you by Waste Management,
yes,
the people who own and operate, who run the Walter Hill site, right?
No, sir, that's Republic Services.
Okay, I'm getting confused.
That's right, Republic.
People may get these names we don't hear every day. Waste Management is different. Okay.
Waste Management is a competitor of Republic. They have landfills throughout Middle Tennessee, and our transfer station is going to take the trash from the transfer station that is brought there to a landfill site either in Marshall County or out in Camden on the West Tennessee River or up in White County.
Okay.
But that's for Waste Management to determine.
I couldn't figure out why the competitor, the people who are wanting to keep Middle Point Landfill, would say you've done a great job.
Quite the opposite. Republic has done everything legally, in some cases unethically, to keep us from opening this transfer station. They really have. It's quite something. But
what does
water under the bridge. It's opening.
What does the transfer station mean to their efforts to continue operating Middle Point?
Not a thing. It does nothing to with regard to the contractor host agreement we have with them that keeps them from operating Middle Point. Middle Point Landfill will close, according to TDEC, Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation. The Middle Point Landfill will close, just like any other landfill will close, when it is full or if it is sufficiently in non-compliance. It's, according to TDEC, sufficiently in compliance, even though they get findings all the time, but they will stay. Our anticipation is they will stay open for as long as they can until they are full. And then when they are full, they will have to close. And so they're getting, every day that more trash is deposited at Middle Point, it gets fuller and fuller. And at one day, it's going to be completely full. And that day is coming sooner than later.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
You talk with them on a regular basis.
As a matter of fact, I don't.
Okay.
I haven't spoke. They haven't called me in quite some time, and I do not know why. You would think that Republic, who wants to stay here, would try to keep a conversation or relationship going with the county mayor, but they have intentionally done the opposite.
Now, if they really got into recycling, taking things that are brought to the landfill and turning them into something that can be recycled,
yeah,
and sell it for something,
mm-hmm,
would they would continue bringing in money, plus they would continue to be able to use the landfill. Would that extend the life dramatically?
Yes, it would, but Republic has no significant recycling investment in Middle Tennessee. None. As a matter of fact, their recycling center, their closest recycling center, as I understand it, is in Memphis, Tennessee. Waste Management, on the other hand, has a state-of-the-art, brand-new recycling center in Nashville. As a matter of fact, Rutherford County does a pretty good job recycling, and our solid waste director, it's funny we're talking about this, because our solid waste director, Bishop Wagner, texted me this morning, and this is funny, because he sent me, I'm going to read this text, I don't think he'd remind me reading, he said, year to date, our recycling program has netted over $15,000 back to the county. This is after we pay for our single stream and e-scrap. So, in other words, our recycling with partnership with Waste Management absolutely is a revenue generator back to the county. And all we want to do is break even. We just don't want it to recycling to cost the taxpayer money, if that makes sense. That's our goal. So Bishop has done an outstanding job with that business model, and the transfer station, BART, and the partnership with Waste Management, who has a recycling facility in Nashville that we utilize on a daily basis, that partnership is going to give us the leverage to recycle more and to keep accelerate the growth of diverting trash out of landfills, wherever that landfill is.
Now, we keep hearing about how much it will cost the individual residents, businesses, who right now don't pay any tipping fees, things of that sort, to use the Middle Point landfill.
That is not a correct statement, though.
Okay, well, it's what I've been hearing.
Right.
I don't know any different.
I know, and I'm not sure how that myth or got out there. But number one, Rutherford County residents pay a tipping fee unless your trash is picked up by Murfreesboro, which does charge you about I don't know what the charge is on your water bill, but you pay a pickup fee for that. But Murfreesboro trash doesn't have a tipping fee. Rutherford County trash that is brought to the convenience center doesn't have a tipping fee. But if you add up all the tonnage of Murfreesboro's trash that's not tipped and the Rutherford County portion that's not tipped, it's less than 100,000 tons a year. That's 100,000 tons out of 450,000 tons of trash produced every year. So there's another 350,000 tons of trash every year that has a tipping fee associated with it. So
from Rutherford County.
We're just talking Rutherford County. So we're talking about 20% of all trash, or 80% of all trash generated inside the county has a tipping fee associated with it. So there's this myth that Rutherford County doesn't pay a tipping fee. Well, that's true for 20% of the trash, but not the other 80%.
But you said that we pay a pickup fee.
Mm-hmm.
To the city,
mm-hmm.
If you live in the city.
Right.
But if you're living in the county, and you said the county takes it, I didn't know the county had any garbage trucks.
No, we do. We got a fleet of garbage trucks. We have 14 convenience centers, and those 14 those 14 convenience centers, last year, there was 36,700 tons of trash that went through the convenience centers. Every one of those convenience centers has, those boxes that you see at the convenience center are emptied, and they're taken to Middle Point. Now, the cost to man the convenience centers, have the driver pick up the boxes from the convenience center, take it to Middle Point, that's an $8 million enterprise that it costs the property taxpayer. So if one penny on a property tax rate is $1.5 million, Bart, you're probably looking at, four pennies, four cents. So there's absolutely a cost associated with transporting your trash to Middle Point. The fact there's not a tipping fee associated with just 20% is just a fraction of the equation.
Now, would there be a difference in expenses if we look at the total picture, put the dollars all together, and if we took it to Camden, mm-hmm. Tennessee, which is pretty far away?
Well, we don't care where they take it. So once our trash, the county's trash is at the transfer station and loaded on a Waste Management MBI truck, it's no longer our trash. It's Waste Management's. I don't care where they take it. We have a contract for them to load the trash out of the transfer station into a truck. We have a contract with them to haul the trash to, in sealed, by the way, in sealed containers, not these open tops that Republic uses where the trash blows out of the top of the trailer. These are sealed cylinder containers so the trash can't come out. And then so they load it, they haul it, and then they dispose of it at a landfill. We have a contract price per ton for that, for them to do that. So it does, so I don't care where they take it.
Interesting. 615-893-1450. Text us your questions dealing with Rutherford County government. It could be the landfill. It could be any of the things that we're talking about this morning. Public safety buildings, boy, they have come in handy.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the projects that we've got that we want to initiate in the next segment, if that's okay, Bart.
Very definitely.
Several projects that are important to the county.
Our county mayor, Joe Carr, is our guest this morning. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Overnight, Good Neighbor Talk turns to UFOs, aliens, the unknown. It's Coast to Coast AM overnight every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Hey, Jim, where'd you source out those maters from?
Right out of my field. Still had mud on them this morning.
50 fresh, flavorful seasons at the Rutherford County Farmers Market, Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro, on John R. Rice Boulevard.
The Rutherford County Farmers Market. No middlemen, just local hands and local dirt.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE's Plugged In podcast focuses on the world of electric vehicles. Stay up to date on the EV world, hear interviews with experts, and more. Listen on your favorite podcast platform or visit mte.com/pluggedin.
Holden Hardware now has an e-commerce site. Go to doitbest.com/Holden-hardware and shop all the items in our warehouse. You can have them shipped directly to you, or most items can be shipped for free to Holden Hardware for pickup. Shop with us in person or go online to doitbest.com/Holden-hardware.
One more time.
doitbest.com/Holden-hardware.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. Demas's has had a bar when we opened 35 years ago, and we've done the exact same thing with our bar menu that we've done with our food menu. We get higher quality items, higher quality cocktails. Again, some people just want a drink with their meal, where they might be able to get a drink to complement their meals. You need to check it out, so come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street. We really focus on value.
We'll see a few spotty showers and thunderstorms here this afternoon with partial sunshine developing and a high in the low 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies and a low near 63. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 66.
Looking for a lift kit for your truck or Jeep and need the right experts to install it? Look no further than Tire World. In Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Middle Tennessee football and basketball games are right here. This is Chip Walters on Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
MTSU Sports on WGNS.
Welcome back. We are focusing on Rutherford County this morning. Happy birthday to Richard Dillon. Richard is the winner of the Slick Pig Banana Pudding. Boy, he's lucky today. Happy birthday, Richard. Also, our good neighbor of the day is Beverly Johnson. Beverly has dedicated over 40 years to educating our young people, serving half of that as assistant principal at Black Fox. She's retiring and certainly will be missed. She's our good neighbor of the day today, receiving flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts.
I would say that's more than a good neighbor. I think that's an extraordinary neighbor.
Extraordinary neighbor, very definitely. I tell you, we are so fortunate. Our whole community is blessed with wonderful people who really care about each other.
It is, as the mayor, I can tell you, I get the greatest privilege that I have is interacting with the Rutherford County public employee workforce. They, and whether it's the RCS, the school, Rutherford County school system, the Murfreesboro school system, the city workers of Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Eagleville, and of course, is the Rutherford County workforce. They are phenomenal.
Definitely.
And something that goes in, I'm going to run on a little tangent here, Bart, because I'm going to brag on them for just a second, if you don't mind. but I get kind of emotional about this because I have been, I was the assistant commissioner for TDEC for admin. So I oversaw a large organization there for about a year and a half. I've been the CEO of a large engineering company. So I know what it is to be at the helm, if you will, of a large organization, both in government and the private sector. And I'm going to tell you something. The Rutherford County workforce is at the pinnacle of all of that. And it's a testimony to the team that I've been able to assemble together that since I've been mayor, we have not been sued. That's kind of a...
That is unbelievable.
Have not been sued. That is a true statement. I have not been sued. And what is even more important and impressive, I have not had to ask for the resignation or termination of a single county employee.
They're all doing a good job.
They're doing a phenomenal job. And I think it shows that when the word says, and I really mean this, a people without vision will perish. And so as a leader, as one of the leaders of this community, in my not sole responsibility, but my number one priority is to create that vision and articulate and communicate that vision to the team so they can go, yeah, I want to get on board with that. I want to be a part of that. How can I contribute? Or if they don't, they can come to me and say, Mayor, you know, I can't get on board with that vision. That's okay. Let me help you find a place where you can get on board with that vision, whatever that is. So if you can't work here, that's okay. That's not a good or a bad thing. It's just, if that's your thing, let me help you find a place where you can thrive and succeed and prosper and grow. I wish it were here, but if it's not, let's find a place where it is. And that mentality, just constantly articulating that mentality, I think has made Rutherford County, has made it a phenomenal place to work. And it's demonstrated by our attrition rate is really, really low right now. We don't have people leaving the workforce. We have people wanting to come here. We have more applicants for job openings than we've ever had. And we have fewer openings for jobs right now than we have ever had. And it's a testimony that when you pay attention to culture, when you pay attention to how you're leading and making sure that it's collaborative with your teammates, it's a good place to work and people enjoy it. That's a phenomenal workforce.
You offer some great services. One of those kept popping up with these tornadoes that were flurrying through the area over the past few weeks with the public safety buildings. They were built as storm shelters.
And so on regular occasion,
what a great
addition. We have hundreds of people, when they get an alert from the National Weather Service, they migrate to those storm shelters. They do. And again, I want to give credit to Mayor Ketchin for that, because he had the vision, the foresight to make the public safety buildings a multi-purpose building. It's not just a fire station or EMS station. There's also a health department in there. There's an office for sheriff's deputies to be in there. So it's a storm shelter. It's a lot of things. And so those buildings, public health and safety buildings throughout the community, are tremendous assets, and we're fortunate to have them.
I understand over 200 people have gone to those.
Yes.
Already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about this year.
Yeah, in a single event. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But you picture people who are in mobile homes or in a home that's not secure as they would feel it should be, to the ground.
Yeah.
You don't want to put your family there in a tornado coming.
You know, you can replace the stuff, but you can't replace the lives.
Very
and
definitely.
So, and we want to create an option for those people to feel safe and to be safe, and that in the event of a calamity, it's only property that is damaged or lost, lives are saved.
Now, as you are meeting with this property management committee this evening, are some of the new projects that you're adding going to be as valuable as well, like that particular one?
I think everything that we're going to do has great value to the community. Eric and I, my chief of staff, and Michael Smith, the finance director, we spend a lot of time assessing the needs. And let me just go through this.
Sure.
The number one priority we have in front of us, well, The projects in progress. Let me back up even further. So we just talked about the completed projects. The projects currently in progress that currently are funded and under construction are the recovery court expansion. That's a $1.5 million expansion. The forensic center, obviously, we're going to do a groundbreaking on that $15 million facility in July. The Plainview Public Health and Safety Building, Bart, it's going to be completed on or about Labor Day. So we will take occupancy and begin functioning out of that facility in October of this year.
Where is that?
Plainview is right there next to the Plainview Elementary School off of Epps Mill Road in off down I-24 in Christiana. So we'll be having a flag raising ceremony for that in the next coming months. We have the Smyrna EMS station that's going to be on Weekly Lane. We really need some additional emergency medical services capacity up in Smyrna and Laverne. So this is the first big step toward accomplishing that, quicker response times for our EMS people. And then finally, on the projects in progress is the Smyrna Clerk's office expansion. So we're giving Lisa Kroll some additional parking. We're giving her a drive-through because that end of the county is obviously growing a great deal, and we need to expand those facilities. So those are the things that currently are in progress and are going to be completed between now and January 2027.
Okay. So all of those will be finished by January 2027.
Yeah, some of them will be finished before then, but everything will be completed by on or before January 2027.
Okay.
All right.
That's wonderful. I mean, those are things we need.
Those are the things we have. So we've talked about the things that we've already completed. We've talked about the things that are currently in progress. And then we have a list of items that we need to address in the very near future. And the first and foremost is the county is in desperate need of additional administrative office space. As your listeners know and as you know, right now the Goldstein Building occupies Elections, which is Director Larry Farley. Director Alan Farley, not Larry. Larry's our fire chief. But Director Alan Farley, we have planning and engineering with Doug DeMossi and Mike Hughes and their staff. We have Tanya Bell, who's over the building and code. So we have about 35, 40 people in that building. I have been told by our maintenance director, Adam Dodd, that building, as old as it is in serious need of some major renovation, and that would be the roof, the HVAC, the elevator system, and some internal flooring that is not particular level, and some very, very old wiring. And so we have a immediate need to find some additional administrative office space for those people so that Goldstein then can be renovated. So our hope is that in the coming months we will have, and we're working on it now, we think we've got a solution we're working on, but I can't get into the details. But what we need to do is we need to move those 35, 40 people out of Goldstein so that we can then address the needs of that building. Because in about 2 years, according to Adam Dodd, we're going to have a problem, serious problem on our hands. So that's the most immediate need.
We have a text here from a listener, and it sort of fits in with what you're talking about right now, some of the older facilities creating problems.
Yes.
This one is dealing with the courthouse itself and the use of the public restroom facilities on evenings when there's, First Friday, things of that sort, the marketplace, Saturday marketplace. It's going to be sort of rough going around up there, but no place to go to the restroom.
So when you have thousands of people, okay, so let's step back. The courthouse was built in 1859. It's one of six antebellum courthouses left in the state of Tennessee that predate the Civil War. It's a historical monument. And the plumbing in that facility is very, very old and very fragile and was never designed to be an event venue. It has been an event venue for some years, and that has accelerated the deterioration of that building, especially the mechanical systems and the plumbing. Literally after every event, on the square, whether it's Friday Night Lights or a farmer's market Saturday morning, the hundreds and hundreds of people in a matter of just a few hours use those facilities, and those facilities were never designed for that kind of abuse. And so literally on Monday mornings, we have had occasions where people have used the restroom on the second floor and the toilet overflowed, ran all weekend, and flooded the first floor. We have had literally raw sewage back up because somebody flushed something down a toilet that they knew would stop up the toilet. And so it has become chronic, and my primary concern is that historical landmark. I regret that we had to take this step. I know it's a horrible inconvenience, but quite honestly, I didn't think I was left with any choice.
That building is 156 years old.
You obviously have done the math.
I just did.
So I just know it was built in 1859, according to
that's 166. That's 166.
Yeah, I would have to get my calculator out for that.
Okay, so it's old.
It's old.
And to the same way with the Goldstein building. I mean, it's not that old, but it's old
it's
too.
It's old.
So to make these usable.
Yes.
By the public.
Yes.
And relevant. They're going to need to be some changes in both of those buildings. We can't close them up.
No.
Like that.
And no. And I think what also remember the whole idea of opening the courthouse on the weekend so people could use it as a restroom.
And then we had
created some serious security concerns because. Remember, the mayor's office is there, the finance department is there, and so there were some serious security concerns as well. We've had many occasions where over the weekend, the homeless population will sneak in, go up to the second floor, and lay down between the benches up in the county commission hall or on the third floor in an effort to spend the night in the courthouse over the weekend. Well, that's a security concern for my office and the finance department and the trustee's office. It's also a security concern for all the historical artifacts that are in the museum part of the courthouse. So the situation became untenable for the county, and unfortunately, we had to close it on the weekends to large events. It's not secure. It's
and the museum's closed too.
Yeah, on the weekends. Mm-hmm.
With the offices populated. It's more secure. The building is more secure. Is that what you feel?
With regard to security, when you have myself in the office and you have a security guard there during the day, and you have people in the courthouse, it's much more secure. When there's nobody in there in the courthouse, and somebody sneaks in and spends the night, there's no security, right?
So, will this be a part of your?
Let me just say this: that courthouse has been subject to vandalism. Before on several occasions since I've been mayor. And so obviously, for whatever reason, people think it's appropriate to vandalize the courthouse, and I just can't tolerate that.
Will this need be a main part of tonight's meeting with the property management committee?
The tonight's meeting is going to talk about the need for the projects list.
This supersedes the projects list.
No, this is part of the projects list. The Goldstein building is on my projects list. I'm going to talk about.
I'm talking about the restrooms.
What about the restrooms?
Making them up to today's standards so they can be used.
No, sir. That's not that is architecturally probably not possible with the plumbing mechanical systems.
Plumbing can't be replaced.
We haven't looked into the cost of turning the courthouse into a public restroom venue to accommodate thousands of people. No, sir, we have not looked into that.
Suitable for the staff?
Is what suitable for the staff?
The restroom facilities.
Yes.
Is it adequate?
Yes, more than adequate for the staff that works in the courthouse. And it's adequate for the county commission meetings, the planning commission meetings. It's adequate for an occasional use where you have standing room only in the crowd. Yeah, it's adequate for that. But the consistent weekend use of the courthouse, accessible to thousands of people, to use it as a public restroom, it was never designed for that. and it was never built for that. And the cost, I'm afraid, would be prohibitive to do that. And we still have a security issue.
And you probably will until you maybe made a separate entrance to the museum.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could do that. Would you like for us to figure out a solution so the public could have access to the courthouse restrooms?
I think there's a need for it.
You think there's a need for the county to provide a restroom in the courthouse to the public for events?
I think someone needs to provide it, and I don't think individual businesses are in a place to do that.
No, I don't think so either. Do you think it would be the responsibility, then, of the person who is directing or overseeing the event to provide those facilities?
Yeah. How would Main Street have that kind of money?
I don't know. You're asking the county to do it. How does the county have that kind of money?
It's a service to the public. I don't know.
No, it's not a service to the. I disagree. Yeah, okay. You can quantify anything as service. It's a service to Main Street, so they continue to have their large events on the square. That's what it's a service to.
And that helps the whole community, doesn't it? It keeps people going downtown. It brings us together.
I think there are some definite attributes, positive attributes for having people at those events. I think if they want to do that, but let's be honest, Bart, when you pack 3,000 people inside that square for a Friday Night Lights, I'm sure it's a lot of fun for those 3,000 people, but a lot of people don't know the cost associated with 3,000 people, the landscaping that goes, the vandalism that sometimes goes with it, the litter, the trash, those kinds of things, the abuse to the courthouse. And so while everything has its pluses and minuses, I'm not opposed to having those events on the square. I think they're great. I love having Main Street on the square with their events. What I've got to weigh is the value of that courthouse as a historical landmark. I've got to weigh that with the restroom needs of people on the square when it is the responsibility of Main Street to provide those services. It's not the responsibility of the courthouse to be that public restroom. And I wouldn't mind if that's what it was designed for, and we could probably secure those offices. We could probably lock up the museum piece. But the cost to improve and expand the restroom facilities would be, I don't know that it would work with the courthouse. I haven't looked into it.
There's no other place to put it. You can't have little separate buildings out in the lawn. You used to have them below the building.
So why, let me ask you a question. Why is this solely the responsibility of the county? Why isn't the city and Main Street taking some responsibility here?
Well, maybe all of you can work together.
Maybe.
To have a location, don't you?
We do. We do have to have a location.
Where else would it be?
I don't know.
To be where the events are.
Well, true. But why does it? Are you aware of where the county and the city begin and end on the square?
No.
Okay. So yes. Oh, absolutely. The inner parking lot, that's county. That sidewalk between the inner parking lot and the outside parking lot is the county. That's where the city begins. So the city has the responsibility of the square from the inner circle on out. And so the county only has the jurisdiction over the courthouse itself, the courthouse lawn, and the sidewalk surrounding the courthouse lawn. That's all.
So you're suggesting that we put steps right there where the city and county merge and have the steps go down below the ground, build restrooms underground, and that would be joint property.
I'm not suggesting that
between
at all.
City and county.
Absolutely.
Well,
not.
You said it had to be where the city and county.
I didn't say anything about going underground, though.
Well, you don't want it. You don't want it above ground, right there. That's your parking.
Well, I don't care where the city wants to put it. They can put it anywhere they like. I'm just struck by the fact that this seems to be the sole responsibility of the county to accommodate large venues on the courthouse that the courthouse was never designed to accommodate. This is a relatively recent phenomenon. This has these events on the square, these regular events on the square, are relatively new. I love them. I want them to stay.
It keeps our community together. You go to other communities, you know, with the courthouse on the square. Some of them have them. Most of them don't. But they don't even know what the downtown square is. They don't even know they have a square. Newcomers to the area.
That's correct.
Don't. This at least brings the newcomers downtown, and they say, hey, there's stores, there's restaurants. You introduce
So the beneficiaries of this, but with that, I love, this is a great discussion.
Okay.
I'm enjoying
it. And we're almost out of time.
I know, but I love this because it's talking about, you know, the beneficiary of having these events downtown, according to what you're saying, and I agree, are the shops downtown. They're the beneficiary because they get increased traffic by which to transact commerce, right? They get, they're the beneficiaries, aren't they?
Yes.
Of these events, but whether it's the farmer's market or Murfreesboro Lights, whatever. Well, if they're the beneficiary, shouldn't they be the ones then accommodating the restroom needs of those who are patronized?
No, they should not be. No.
Well, why
not? Because
if they're the beneficiary.
It's very simple.
Okay.
This is why we have a county government and a city government. You oversee all of us and help all of us. Otherwise, there's no need for a city government or a county government. You need to get together.
Well, I would say
we're out of time.
We are. And on that note, we disagree. I don't think it's my responsibility to accommodate people. I think it's to provide services and protect their civil liberties.
Thank you so much for joining us. This has been enjoyable.
Been good. Very good.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Bart. God bless.